focused on the actual Lord's Prayer. But in the passage just before it, he talked about the way not to pray. Do you remember Jesus highlighted all the things that you shouldn't do? You know, you shouldn't do showy prayers, you shouldn't pray to be seen by other people, and so on. But in that, in that little passage, Jesus kept using the phrase, they have their reward in full. They have their reward. They have their reward. And what I want to look at is today is the reward of prayer. There is a reward in prayer. It's very easy to forget that. Think of prayer as an end in itself, but it is, prayer is a way to gain a reward from God. In fact, Paul also talked last week from Hebrews 11, and he talks in there about when we come to God, we must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him. Reward is important. We sometimes get too humble, you know, I mean, and have a false humility about ourselves. But God understands we're created to be seeking out a reward. When we come to this life, we want it to have a reward, don't we? To have a good end and a good middle bit and a good beginning as well. But we want a reward from what we do, from our prayers, from our meeting together. There's got to be some benefit, hasn't there? Who's got a Tesco club card? A rewards card. There's plenty of reward in our culture, isn't there? And over the course of a year, because we don't go to Tesco very often, I get just enough points to be able to renew my rail card, our two together rail card, which is brilliant. And I love rewards like that. But the greatest reward of all is the presence of God, isn't it? To find ourselves in the presence of the sublime beauty of God, made possible by the blood of Jesus. Jesus talked a lot about reward, and so did Paul the Apostle. He talked about the reward he was looking forward to in eternity. Let's be clear, we're not talking about salvation, earning our salvation, that we do stuff to get saved. God gives us that as a gift. But once we are saved, we have an opportunity to gain reward with God. If you want, I'm going to put it in raw terms, we get a chance to add some points to our rewards card. And it is like that. And we might not like that. It might sound a bit vulgar to us. But Paul talks about grades of reward. You can improve your reward by maybe praying more, maybe loving more, maybe giving more, maybe whatever. There is a way to increase our reward with God. Not to get saved, but to increase our reward. Back to our story of Asa. Now, just the background of the story. It takes place when the kingdom of Israel has split. Judah is in the south, and the kingdom of Israel is in the north. And this, the king from Israel comes down to Judah, and he starts to build a siege city to stop, basically, what do they call it? When a blockade. He's building a city to blockade Judah so that trade can't go in. And King Asa goes to the king of Syria. He basically goes to the temple, takes all the gold out of it, takes all the gold out of the palace, and he pays the king of Syria to form an alliance with him, as kings did in those times, and says, just go and, get rid of this king of Israel for me, who's come down and he's building this siege city. And he does. And the king of Israel does clear off. But that's not the end of the story, because something had happened there that And God sends a prophet to King Asa and says, mate, you got that one wrong. Because King Asa was a pretty good king, actually, and he'd done a lot of good for the kingdom of Judah, and he had listened to God in the past, and he had done the right thing, and he had had faith in God. But 36 years into his reign, maybe he's forgotten just how well he'd started, and he makes a mistake, and he doesn't trust God. He trusts the king of Syria for salvation, to come and save him. He doesn't even bother to pray. He just gives him the money, clears the temple of all the gold. And so Hanani, the seer, comes to him and says, don't you remember? The Ethiopians and the Lubim, they were a huge army. They came with all their chariots, all their tanks of the time, all their horses. And God defeated them when you put your trust in him. Don't you remember that? He could have done that for you with the king of Judah. And because he didn't show that loyalty to God, now the king of Syria is never going to go away. He's a wealthy king now. You've just loaded him with all the wealth he needs to be a mighty king. And you're going to have war for the rest of your reign. You should have listened. That was Asa's, Hanani's message to Asa. And it says then Asa was really angry with that message. Didn't want to hear that. And he shot the messenger. He put him in prison, actually. But sometimes when you're bringing God's message, you cannot guarantee the reaction of the person you're bringing it to. And unfortunately, Hanani got it and was put in prison. I want to pull out three things from the passage. And I'm going to start with foolish, the word foolish. Hanani says this in verse 9. Because you relied on the king of Syria, and you have not relied on the Lord your God. And then he goes on in verse 9, he says, in this you have done a foolish thing. That was stupid. Ever done anything foolish? Dumb? Dumb and dumber?
And even dumber.
Yeah. Or as it says in that line in the royal family, you're dumb, you're dumber, and you're dumbest. When they're playing Cluedo, I think, isn't it? We are like that. We do something dumb, and then we go and do it again, and we do it again. Well, God is encouraging us not to be foolish. In this you have done foolish thing. You didn't rely on God. So conversely, relying on God is a very wise thing to do. Put your trust in him. And let me just pull out a few features of foolishness. The fool says in his heart, there is no God, doesn't he? Says that in Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And we often project that onto atheists. Oh, they're foolish, they say there's no God. But I think that applies to believers, because we can say in our heart, there is no God. God's not going to help me. It's almost as if he doesn't exist. We can have that attitude, can't we? That's a foolish thing to do, not to have any expectation of your prayers being answered, that God is with you, God cares for you. All these things are foolish attitudes when there is a God. Another example of foolishness in the scriptures, the wise and the foolish virgins, yeah? 10 of them had their spare oil for the wedding, and the 10 foolish virgins didn't have extra oil in case the bridegroom was late. The foolishness was that they weren't paying attention, the foolish virgins. They'd taken their eye off the spiritual ball. And that was the message that Jesus was trying to give to the Jews. You've taken your eye off the ball, mate. You know? The Messiah's here. You've missed it. You should have that oil. And then Jesus talked about the fool building his house on the sand, didn't he? And that talks about not following what Jesus has said, his teaching. If you want to do that, it's like building a house on sand. But specifically in this little passage, but King Asa, he did not seek God's support, but he relied on other things to save his neck. It was a foolish thing, said the prophet, when all you had to do was ask him. Who's seen the film Mental Block?
No.
It's a good one, Mental Block. No, the one with Keanu Reeves. Oh. No, the one set in The Matrix, yeah, obviously. Who's seen The Matrix? Well, in fact, it was one of the films that, yeah, came after The Matrix. And, you know, he goes into that training zone, doesn't he, with the martial arts guy. And they have this big fight, and they both get beaten up. But in the end, Keanu Reeves beats him and gets him on the floor. And he said, "Why did you do that?" And the guy replies, "I just needed to find out if you were the one." And he said, "You could have just asked." And that's, I think that God's like that. You know, we go through all that hassle, all that trouble, and God's at the end of it said, "You could have just asked. You could have just asked me." And this is the same with Asa. Foolishness. It's like pushing a car from Leeswood to Manchester when all you had to do was turn the key in the ignition. This, you know. We talked, you know, nothing is impossible with God. Go to God first. It's foolish not to put your faith and reliance in God at the front of the agenda. And the way we express that is through prayer. We pray. Okay. That was the first word, foolish. And the second one is reliance. In verse 8 of the Chronicles passage, it says that in the past you relied on me. God says to Asa, "You relied on me." Powerful word, reliance, isn't it? If you don't do it, Lord, it won't get done. That's reliance. You don't do it, it won't get done. How many times do we play at being God's fixer? When we don't have to and we don't need to. Yeah. We try and fix things for God, don't we? Because, of course, God can't possibly do it himself. You know, like, if something we're doing in church and we need to step down from doing it and it creates a vacancy, that's not a problem with God. He can fill a vacancy. If he can throw galaxies into existence, he can fill a little vacancy in a church.
John, can I ask you something? It kind of bothers me sometimes. Do we need to stick up for God?
It's a good question. I'll have a think about it. We'll have a talk about it after, yeah.
You just need to go for our faith.
Yeah, we do stand up for our faith. But we do not need to defend God. In one sense, he can defend himself. But anyway, Hanani reminds him of his past victories when Asa had trusted in God, and he contrasts it with this foolish act of clearing out the temple, giving all the gold to a potential enemy. Anyway. Now, he explains why it is a good thing to rely on God. Why is it good to rely on God? He says in verse 9, "Because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, he's scanning everywhere, and he's looking for someone to show himself strong on behalf of. He's looking for somebody with loyalty in their heart who will put their absolute 100% all the way through loyalty in God, and he's going to show himself strong on behalf of that person. Are you that person? Are you? Is your heart set on the Father? Is your heart set on Jesus? Is your heart set on the Holy Spirit? Are you loyal to God? Because if you are, God's looking to show his power in your life. Or have you got a double mind? Are you hedging your bets? Are you on the fence? Are you thinking you can do it better? Are you thinking that you can fix your own problems, fix your life? Or are you putting your full reliance on God? If you do, he's looking to show his power in your life. Right. And finally, the final word is reward. There is great reward in prayer. Great reward. Matthew 5 talks about the reward being squandered by making the wrong kind of prayer. But reward does exist for those that diligently seek him. We saw that video, didn't we? The two ladies in their 80s, very frail. One of them was blind, one of them riddled with arthritis. But they decided, was it Tuesday and Friday, they were going to shut the door and go and pray. And what a powerful thing happened. That was the last revival in the United Kingdom. And a larger part of the Outer Hebrides was touched by the Spirit of God. They would have meetings and the chapel would be absolutely full to the gunwales, and people outside. And there's one testimony, and there's a little backstory to it. But it was a young boy, and the preacher said, "Well, I think you should pray for us." And this little boy prayed for the people in the building, and it was like a wave of power came into the building. And on one side, everybody's hands went up in the air, and heads went up, and their heads were knocked back. And on the other side of the building, everybody fell over. Under the power of God. But they would have meetings all night. You just could not keep people away from the presence of God. The power of God was unleashed. Strangely, that revival did not touch the capital of the Outer Hebrides, which I think is Stornoway or somewhere like that. And do you know why it didn't touch there, the town? Because the religious leaders opposed it. They didn't like the doctrinal vagary of it. And they opposed the preacher of Donald Campbell, wasn't it? And so the rival didn't touch their town. Imagine having that as your legacy. I wouldn't want that. Anyway, reward, great reward. God wants to show himself strong and powerful in your situation, in your dilemma. If you've got a dilemma at the moment, you've got two things going on and you don't know how you're going to manage these two things, because you can't do one without compromising the other, or vice versa, whatever. God, how many of you know that nothing is impossible with God, and he can make a way out of that situation that you cannot understand or see at the moment? But if you trust him, pray to him, show that by praying and committing it to him, he can bring a powerful outcome. Powerful outcome. I want to emphasize the word powerful outcome to your dilemma, to your desperate situation. Maybe you're financially desperate at the moment, you've got nothing. You've got an empty fridge. Maybe your crisis, mental crisis. God wants to show his power in that situation. Just need to pray. Just need to ask. Start your journey of faith today. Have you got a family feud going on? An argument between you and a family member? Show your power, Lord. Have you been made redundant, or are you threatened with redundancy, or are you unemployed? Show your power, Lord. Addiction. Are you addicted to anything? Drugs are just one form of addiction. Are you addicted to a person? Are you addicted to technology? Are you addicted to goods, money, sexual addiction? Show your power, Lord. Have you got fear for the future? Show your power, Lord. Do you live in condemnation? Do you get guilt? Show your power, Lord. Are you lonely? Your loneliness. Show your power, Lord. Anxiety attacks. Show your power, Lord. Look, beautiful phrase in this passage. Those whose heart is loyal to him. And we saw in our queen, didn't we, an example of loyalty to her calling and to the nation. What about that nature of loyalty to God? Yes, the Queen did express that as well, by the way. You see, it's not the eloquency of our words that influence whether God answers our prayers. We don't need to do fancy prayers. It's the loyalty of our heart in that prayer. Yeah? When you're saying a prayer, it's got to be from the heart. Make it gutsy. Make it real. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be, said Jesus. A half-hearted, throwaway prayer does not pass muster with God. A prayer, God bless me, in the car, half-hearted, is not really going to cut muster or pass muster. Coming to the close now. We've got another grandson down in Bristol called Caleb. He's just learning how to speak now. And he's been thinking about it for a while, for the last 6 months. He knows he wants to say it, but he just hasn't got the muscle, mouth coordination, whatever, to get the word from his brain out of his mouth. But he's just turned the corner with that, and he's just starting to say words with syllables in it. So, and the kids get a lot of fun out of getting him to say things, because it's funny when he tries to repeat it back. So they say, say Alexandra, and he'll go, ah, and he'll put three syllables in, and they sound like little grunts. But we've got a great joy in that, his first words, and the way he's really, really straining to get them out. And that's what your first prayers to God can be like, you know. They can really be tough. And they may come out rubbish in terms of human understanding. But God heard what you were saying, and he understood it completely. And he was more pleased with the grunt that you gave to get it out, and because you did it when you didn't want to do it. And you tried, and you put your faith in him, and made every effort to get your body to do show that. I think God is more pleased in that attempt than the most eloquent prayer from the pulpit. So remember that. Your little grunt before God, up a hill on your own, telling him about your situation, is the most important thing you can do today. And that is where I'm going to leave it. But I encourage you to pray.